Welcome to the Dietitian Connection podcast, a show about nutrition, dietitians, and their success stories. Through our conversations with nutrition leaders, we aim to inspire you, to connect you with like-minded colleagues, to innovate and push you out of your comfort zone, to create robust debate, to encourage lifelong learning, and to empower you to create more impact as a dietitian.
Have you got your hands on a Dietitians Unite 2024 ticket yet? Dietitian Connection's annual conference you know and love is landing in Sydney on Friday the 31st of May, and you don't want to miss out. This is not just any professional conference, this is next level networking, which is as fun as it is informative. Think outside the box keynote speakers, top of their field presenters, and a day full of clinical and business learnings done differently. There's still time to purchase your early bird ticket. Simply jump online to dietitianconnection.com or find the link in the show notes to buy your tickets today. We look forward to seeing you there. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we are listening and pay our respects to their elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are here with us today. Welcome to the Dietitian Connection podcast. My name is Marie Ferguson and I'm the founder of Dietitian Connection. And it's my pleasure today to have two people joining me, Tara McGregor and Alyssa Robbins. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're talking all things supervision, which is one of my favorite topics from many years ago, but looking forward to delving back into that topic today. And I think it's something that's much needed within the profession. I know that you're both passionate advocates of that. So thank you so much for joining us and look forward to our chat today.
Thank you, Marie.
Thank you.
So just to get us started, Tara, what exactly is supervision? Because I know that it can be interchanged sometimes with mentoring and coaching People have different definitions of what supervision might be, but to put us all on the same page, how would you define that?
It is a great place to start, Marie, because there are a lot of kind of overlaps with other professional activities, which are also helpful, but may not necessarily be the full scope of supervision. And in thinking about how to provide a definition, I thought, oh, well, I'm going to read one of the really best ones. And then I thought, no, hang on a minute. I think we can do this in a much better way and just talk sort of more colloquially about what this means for dietitians. And I think to really define supervision, I would start with, this is a really distinct professional activity. This is something that we provide and engage in intentionally. And the intention is to look at our work, to attend to our work with somebody who is trained to provide supervision, ideally, to attend to our work with clients, to attend to ourselves in our work, and to attend to our work that sits in a system. And through that attention, we're hoping to develop better practice, both by learning through receiving information from our supervisor or ideally from reflecting on our work, and also receiving support for the emotional and cognitive strain of doing work in big healthcare systems or in tiny private practices or somewhere in between. And also we receive support and we develop our practice through the accountability that supervision provides. And I'm sure we'll say a little bit more about that as the podcast rolls along. And ultimately, the outcome we want of engaging in this very specific professional development is that we want to really safeguard the care that our clients receive. We want to develop ourselves as a profession, as a professional. And through that, with the accumulative effects of the more and more and more of us engaging in supervision, both as supervisors and supervisees, we develop and strengthen a really robust and progressive profession. So supervision has much to offer, and I hope that definition sort of gives some touchstones on also the complexity of the task as well, and the sophistication of its scope. Mm.
What then is the difference, Tara, between mentoring and supervision?
Oh, yeah, now we're heading straight into one of the areas where there can be a lot of overlap and also a lot of confusion. I think Alyssa was going to bounce off with a couple of ideas first. We're going to sort of play this together.
Mm-hmm. Back a little. So Marie, we thought we'd pick the top four differences that we think dietitians are going to be most interested in when we're comparing the differences between mentoring and supervision. And the first one is that mentoring, as we know it, is a prescribed piece of professional development that is purely there to transition you as a dietitian from university into full APD status out there in the world. And within the APD program, there is this discrete period of time that we are practicing mentoring, and then we stop after 12 months. That's it. Whereas supervision is a career-long endeavor. It provides value at all stages of a dietitian's career and professional development. It'll mean different things to different people as they journey along their career. And what's beautiful about supervision is it adapts to the needs of the supervisee as they evolve through their career. And I think it has a capacity to adapt, and it does have the capacity to adapt to the changing profession as dietetics evolves. Tara, we're going to get to the second one.
Yeah, the second one that Alyssa and I were thinking of that's really an important differentiation between mentoring on the APD program and supervision across the profession is that supervision is a very distinct and particular skill set that's actually its own, I guess, professional modality in itself. Mentoring on the APD program has one of its attractions is that anybody can put their hand up to be a mentor, and as long as you yourself have been through the APD program. Supervision differentiates itself in requiring a unique skill set that ideally we maintain, and so does the best literature on supervision, that you require training to be a good supervisor. And also you will do your best, most effective and ethical work if you continue to engage in supervision of your supervision service once you become a supervisor. Because supervision, and hopefully I gave a nod to this in the definition I provided, has challenging aspects to it, particularly the accountability piece. To help supervisors do this well, we give a lot of airtime to supervisors receiving support to deliver their work well as well. And it's good modelling for the supervisee. So that's one of the other areas that we would differentiate the two. The third piece of differentiation between supervision and mentoring, which we've kind of already been touching in on, is that we would maintain that supervision is much more comprehensive in its scope of service delivery compared to mentoring on the APD program. That it's got the learning piece and the learning and teaching piece that mentoring often involves. But it also has a really important function of providing very specific support, which also mentoring can encompass as well. And this is support for the stressors and the demands of working in a healthcare practice or trying to get a job in a healthcare practice. And the final piece that I think really sets supervision apart is the accountability function, is that your supervision contract, your supervision agreement it includes an understanding between you and the supervisor that you're going to be asked to kind of report back, if you like, not in a formal sort of legal way, but that you're going to be asked to give perspectives on, and when you did that, what transpired, and what did you learn, and what happened then? And so there's this expectation that the ongoing supervisor relationship really looks at building the practice to maintain standards in a robust way. And the supervisor is there to, and I use this word with a smile on my face, but is there to lovingly point out when things are kind of going a little bit off piste, right? Because if we don't do that, then supervision is missing its teeth. And mentoring, for all of the wonderful things that it offers, it doesn't have the teeth, right? And that's where we can do our best learning, when that information is given in ways that the supervisee feels supported and encouraged to hear it. right? And that's why becoming a supervisor is a very specific skill, because that's not always easy to get to do, to give feedback that the supervisee needs to hear. So, yeah, that's a very important distinction as well. Alyssa, I think you had our last one.
There was one more, and this one's it's really kind of a practical part of the difference between supervision and mentoring, and that is that supervision is a fee for service. And that fee for service recognises the specific skill set that a supervisor has gone out and attained and invested in and is developing. Whereas mentoring is expected to be delivered pro bono, you know, for the profession. So that is a big and important distinction.
Would another one be, just to clarify, are you talking about clinical supervision, so you're not really getting into the non-clinical aspects, or am I incorrect there that you
no supervision as we would as we sort of promote and engage in it would be more professional supervision, which encompasses clinical aspects but is by no means limited to it. So it can include the self of the supervisee and, you know, their professional well-being within the scope of their practice. And it can include lots of things beyond the clinical case study debrief that we classically would associate with clinical supervision.
I'm just thinking of like business coaching. Would that be part of supervision or would, yes, Alyssa?
Yes. It absolutely can be, depending on the contract that the supervisee has with their supervisor and the scope of practice that the supervisor is delivering. Alyssa, do you want to say a little bit more about that?
Well, I really I liked the way it was worded in one of the DSRA resources that I found so useful when it says, what do we bring to supervision? You know, what is the scope of what I can bring? And it was really challenging client cases are often the focus of supervision. Absolutely. When I have clients, supervisees coming with me, we're doing a lot of clinical work on digestive health, but the exploration of any topic that relates to or impacts your dietetic practice, so your ability to deliver and to show up for your clients, to show up for your business, which really is about work-life balance and professional boundaries and ethical questions. You know, it's so much broader than just that clinical digestive work that I'm doing with my supervisees. And what is beautiful is it naturally shows up that way in our sessions. Supervisees start to go, oh, this is a place I can bring that stuff because there's no one else to, you know, there's, my husband doesn't get it, my friends don't get it, but this person gets it. And that's the really juicy part that I think, I mean, I'm being very colloquial there, but really that really brings a glow to the work, to the important work.
Great, thank you. So then, Alyssa, can a supervisor provide mentoring under the APD program?
So, Marie, as the APD currently stands, a supervisor can absolutely provide mentoring and meet the requirements of that mentoring program, but they can also extend beyond that. So they can extend beyond that within their capacity as a supervisor. And in fact, Marie, we're anticipating some announcements about the evolution of the mentoring program that is in more of a supervision direction. We're not sure quite what the details are, but we're looking forward to hearing more from DA about what that might look like. And they're talking openly about the future of supervision in our profession. And I believe, Tara, you were at the Dietitians Australia conference last year where there was a specific workshop about it.
Yes, absolutely. I was very fortunate to be in attendance at one of the pre-conference workshops where Claire Palermo and Sarah Micklejohn and Brie Murray from DA presented on supervision in the profession and where we might be heading. And it was really exciting to hear of the energy at DA for this to be incorporated in developments moving forward. One of the interesting snippets that Claire Palermo shared was in the survey across the membership, I think it was at the end of 2021, that was asking their membership for their input about the thoughts about the APD program and mentoring and supervision, where things need to go. They had the most interest in that survey from the membership than any previous survey in DA history. So it members want they want support, and they see supervision as the potential to be really taking future steps, taking better steps in a better direction. So it was incredibly invigorating for myself as part of DSRA, and Liz as part of the DSRA community as well, to hear that, because we've really been kind of banging the supervision drum for quite a while, hoping that things were just going to like keep moving in the right direction, and it looks like they are. I realised, Marie, that we've used the acronym DSRA a couple of times without explaining it. Would it be useful at this point to say a little bit more about what Alyssa and I are talking about there?
Yes, and also we do have some overseas listeners, in particular from the US, so I was wondering if you could give maybe just a short synopsis of the APD program, which is under Dietitians Australia, which we're referring to as DA.
Yes, right. So a short synopsis of the APD mentoring program. Mm-hmm. Yes, so a very short synopsis of that is a transitional program offered under the banner of our professional association, Dietitians Australia. And it's a transitional program that helps new graduates to transition into the professional recognition program, the professional recognition certification, I guess, would be a better word, under the banner of DA, which is a self-regulating body. So it's a period of mentoring where you have to nominate certain learning goals and complete 12 months of mentoring, which are then signed off by your mentor to say, yes, this person is really carrying through the carrying through on their development to enter the profession. I hope that I've answered that in a sort of a way that can be understood. Alyssa, was there anything you wanted to add about the APD mentoring program?
No.
So it's not a competency-based program, and the mentors on the program are volunteers from within the organisation. The DSRA was born out of interest in the profession to really progress supervision as I guess, as I was saying previously, a more robust form of ongoing development that would be career long and have all of these added benefits to mentoring. Dietitian Supervision Resources Australia launched in November 2021. It's essentially a website-based resource that is there to support the practice of supervision in all dietitians. Now it's Australian-centric, but any dietitian across the world could engage with the resources and I'm sure receive support and benefit from them. It's completely free to become a member to access the resources. Most used resources on the website is the Find a Supervisor function. And we're just knocking on the door of 70 listed supervisors, which is incredibly exciting because I think we started off with 6 or 7 in 2021. That's a resource that keeps on growing in strength. The other element of DSRA is that it's not just a website, it's also a living community. And we have community meetings that are open forums. We also have closed meetings for the listed supervisors only. And last year we had our first supervisors retreat in the Northern Rivers of New South Wales. It was just a wonderful learning opportunity and really supportive environment for dietitians that have taken this leap into the future. Alyssa, did you want to add anything about DSRA?
No, beautiful. And I was at that retreat and it was spectacular. incredibly knowledgeable group of just so much wisdom in that room and all these dietitians ready to share it with, you know, the next generation. It was just spectacular.
Yeah. Thanks, Alyssa. It was special.
So So from there, Tara, then getting back to supervision, mm-hmm. then who could actually benefit from it and when do they need it?
Absolutely. Everyone can benefit from supervision and they need it from cradle to grave of the career. One of the definition of supervision that I really appreciate is one that's been put out by Dietitians New Zealand, and I will reference it now. DNZ were way ahead of us in terms of progressing supervision in their profession. Professional supervision is an activity that demonstrates an ongoing commitment to reflection and analysis. It's about reviewing and refreshing practice to enable dietitians to continue to work within the mandate of the profession and to do the best they can in their dietetic roles. Supervision does, however, mean different things to different people at different times of their professional journey. And the nod that they give there that I really appreciate is that this isn't just something you do as a newbie. It's not something you just do as a new grad. And the things that supervision can offer, particularly in the ongoing extension into reflective practice, can benefit even the most advanced practitioner. I don't know where I would be without supervision in my practice now. And I teach supervision, I supervise supervision, and I myself am in supervision. Because it's a lifeline. It's an absolute lifeline.
Mm. Yeah. And I wouldn't use the word supervisor, but I've had many, many mentors over the years, essentially have been supervisors as well. And
you
have different needs and you need different people for different phases of your journey. But Alyssa?
I was just going to say, within my supervision practice, I have new grads, I've got early career, I've got mid-career, I've got dietitians who have been in the profession longer than me. And I'm sure they get different things from different supervisors, but you know, I think the breadth, the learning is always there. Lifelong, I'd have to agree.
Yeah, lifelong.
So what kinds of things are dietitians bringing to you in your supervision sessions, Alyssa?
Well, oh, all sorts of things, Marie. Have you got a cup of tea? I mentioned before, you know, challenging cases, case studies, that kind of thing. It absolutely, as a dietitian working in the digestive space, that is where I think most dietitians reach out and say, hey, I'd love some support from you. Can I engage in supervision? So we do a lot of that client work, but also it expands beyond that. And a few of the top sort of three things that I thought could cover what my dietitians generally bring, but this is not a exhaustive list. There's plenty of things that you can bring to supervision, and there's a resource that we'll link to at the end of this recording for dietitians who can have a look and see what range of things might I be able to show up with. But the clients that I work with, the dietitians that I work with, they come with the experiences with their clients or patients that they weren't sure about, or they felt out of their depth, or maybe the session went not so well, and they really want to come and just debrief and unpack and kind of reflect on that together. They might bring a lot of private practice dietitians within my supervision groups, because I guess they don't have that systemic kind of management or hierarchy or team leaders that they can turn to. So a lot of what they're bringing is private practice issues, such as getting started in their business or needing support because they're feeling isolated, or how do I grow my business? How do I advertise it? So a bit like that business coaching. And then some of the more nuanced or tricky things that people are bringing are those professional boundary kind of challenges. And I'm no expert in these things. I've got my own challenges, but I can tell you the supervision training that I've been given, that I've gone through, through Tara's DESRA, you can see why this training is required, because it has given me the knowledge and the capacity to be able to support dietitians to work their way through some of these tricky ethical kind of boundary private life into your work life issues. And that's the stuff that it's hard to talk about. It's hard to point to. You can't find a book on it. So really, I feel like supervision is this really beautiful space where you can unpack those tricky issues that no one else really understands.
So would I be right in saying that supervision is generally led by the supervisee? Like they come with their
100%. They are coming with an agenda. That's part of the contract usually. And we prioritize the agenda. We look at time management. What can we cover today? We talk back about what we usually check in about the items we've last spoken about to close that loop. There's that accountability piece. So it's a set system of time and of issues that someone will bring that we really, really specific about how to get through the agenda.
Yeah. And did I just hear that you do group supervision?
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps you could just touch on the difference between when you might do individual versus a group.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you could do both. So a supervisee might engage in individual supervision and then complement that with attending a group because they both have different advantages. But one of the things we're really finding with the supervisor community at DSRA is that group supervision is offering an entry point for dietitians that are finding the cost of supervision to be prohibitive, and because group supervision typically is a little more affordable because the cost is split. And that's a supervision arrangement where you're going to be attending with maybe two or three other supervisees, and that conversation is facilitated by a supervisor trained in group supervision, where a couple of the group each meeting typically will present an agenda item. And you as a group participant can learn by listening to the debrief with the supervisor. And then depending on the model of group supervision that the supervisor employs, you may be invited to give input at particular points of the debrief. But it can be incredibly validating to hear what peers are going through, particularly if you're very isolated in rural or regional areas or in a solo private practice. So that's one of the advantages of group that we're looking at. And interestingly, one of our DSRA supervisors that's been doing work with new graduates in groups to just kind of give them a way of easing into the concept of supervision is fine, and that's Deb Blakely. She's finding that on the end of the contract of group supervision, more often than not, her participants are electing to then move into individual supervision because they're finding it so useful. And in individual supervision, you just get to be really greedy and you have the supervisor's complete attention. You don't have to share. So it just allows for more in-depth exploration and you get more covered, essentially. So there are advantages to both, and your supervision can be complemented by attending both as well. So, it's a great development. And we don't just have supervisors listed on DSRA. We also have groups that are ongoing that are described really, really clearly, and people can elect to contact that supervisor to join that group. So if this is like getting people's attention, this conversation, there are options to go now and have a look and see if there's a group that you'd like to join.
And I think from my experience, the group settings makes you realise that other people are facing the same challenges or concerns you might have, so you're not alone.
Yes, you're not alone. It's really humanising, and, it can help with that imposter syndrome that we all seem to suffer. And I think the confidence building capacity of group supervision is really quite unique.
Mm-hmm. So while we're just on some logistics in terms of frequency, what sort of frequency do you normally do, the group and or the individual?
Ideally we want to have the frequency regular enough that it can have an impact. Because if it's too infrequent, Marie, it tends to just be crisis management. And also the supervisor might struggle to really get a sense of their supervisee and where they need to be heading. And so to achieve that, what is typically comes out in the literature is we want to be aiming for monthly at least. And my own practice and the practice of many other DSRO supervisors, we're going to be doing 12 monthly contracts. And within that contract, I like to encourage, if we can get to 10 sessions in that 12 months, because of course there's holidays and closures and whatnot, then I think we're kind of hitting the mark. Now that doesn't always happen, and that can be renegotiated and discussed, but that's kind of where we're heading. Sometimes supervisees go through periods of their work where they want to come more frequently. And that can be something that's discussed in the agreement and the contracting as well.
I think sometimes it's seen as an expense. I always like to say for people to think of it as an investment, which probably gets us to the next question around what would be some of the benefits that you might have seen with your own supervision. We can start with you, Tara.
Well, you know, Alyssa and I were reflecting on this and wondering what we would pick, because there are so many things to pick from. But I think I wanted to go to something that was perhaps a little bit outside the square to just, again, add perspective on this. Is good supervision is much more than just clinical case debrief. And that recently I've been through a huge change in my private life, and it was really my supervisor who helped me to navigate the impact that that had on my professional world. And without her kind of collaboration in helping me to navigate that transition, I just don't think I would have fared as well as I did.
And over to you, Alyssa.
Okay. So I think the question was, how has supervision benefited me in my practice? And it's a similar story, and maybe this is where, you know, life meets work, and it's sort of that juggle or that negotiation of how do you maintain your professionalism as you're going through life, big life stuff. So my mum passed away last year, and it was my supervisor that really helped me to navigate my business world. She was my anchor. She helped me to stay professional, but also to maintain my own health at the time. Just gave me that little bit of guidance and security and support. And ultimately, it was through working with my supervisor that enabled me to figure out where I wanted to go to next, because I was changed after that situation with mum. And I didn't want to go back to the way things were. And so I've rejigged my business. And really, I think I had the courage to do it because I had someone in my corner who I respected and who had done a lot of this before me. And that was really powerful. So, you know, that I don't know how you put a money dollar on that, like a money dollar, a price.
Priceless.
It's priceless. And yeah. It's funny because when I first started paying for supervision, it was like, whoa, okay, you know, it's like I'm paying for a therapy session. And that felt okay. That's a, you know, I've got to see at least another patient a week to cover it. But actually, to be honest, it was just once a month. So really, it's one patient a month extra to cover this session. And I paid for it the first time, I paid for it the second time, and I have never ever thought about the payment again, ever.
Same.
It is just part of the package of me showing up and being a decent, grounded human in my world. Part of it, part of the recipe. Yeah.
And again, I use the word business. I have a business coach and I meet him every week, and I can't function without meeting him every week. So
and maybe, you know, yeah, the language, we're all, there's similar, you know, similar support, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's called different things.
So in terms of your perspectives, we've talked about being the benefits of a supervisee. What about benefits to being a supervisor?
Well, Marie, honestly, it's probably why I'm still in the profession. I have been a dietitian for 20 years, and I can tell you I was not energized by seeing patients anymore. But I realized I had this energy that would come when I worked in my supervision sessions with dietitians. And I was just doing it like a little bit of fun on the side almost, right? Just dabbling in supervision. I was receiving it myself, started to help out a few digestive dietitians that had reached out. And then I went, hang on a second, these are the sessions I'm looking forward to most in the day. And, you know, again, with this big life change, I just made the leap. I decided I don't want to do work that doesn't energize me anymore. I'm in a position where I can make this leap. And now I solely supervise and mentor dietitians. And I feel like it's given me another 10 or maybe 20 years in the profession where maybe I would have looked at doing something else. I don't know. I think I was on the edge of burnout. I was kind of like, what do I do? And now I just, what I can do by supporting other dietitians, I really see a great future. And I wonder whether we might be able to keep dietitians in the profession longer, not only because they're being given supervision or receiving supervision, but because they can become supervisors and extend on that knowledge that they've gained over all those years, pass it down.
So Alyssa, how does one become both a supervisor and a supervisee, either one?
Okay, so becoming a supervisor is something at DSRA. We believe that you need to be trained, you need to go through this specific training that really sets you up to provide all of the support that we've spoken about earlier, the different facets of support. Tara personally offers supervision training through her Practice Pavestones website. But there are also other providers on DSRA that do provide supervision training. There are a couple of prerequisites to enter into that training. It's necessary that you have a minimum of 5 years clinical experience as a dietitian, and it is preferable to have received at least 2 years of supervision yourself. So the idea is that you understand, you've been receiving supervision, you're engaged in the process already, and then you would extend on that and become ready to pass on those skills again. To become a supervisee, it's much simpler. You can just hop on the DSRA website and for free sign up, and there are almost 70 dietitians sitting there waiting to supervise you. You can have a look at their skill set, their area of interest. There's a huge range of different experiences. You can see how long a dietitian's been working for and what their specialities are, whether they're doing individual or group sessions. And most dietitians, supervisors are offering discovery calls where you can actually have a chat before you go committing to anything and really get a sense of who they are and whether that you might be a good fit. But really, there's someone for everyone at every stage. If you look on the website, there's new early career, new grad, there's experienced practitioners. So something for everyone. If they're interested, they can hop online straight after this and get going.
And so, I mean, I started to implement supervision at the Princess Alexandra Hospital before I left many, many years ago. And do you find many hospital dietitians are doing this, paying for this service, or are they getting it within the hospitals, or mainly those in private practice?
Yeah, great question. The majority of the clinicians I'm working with are in, or they're all in private practice, actually. I do know that there are some hospital dietitians or dietitians working in bigger teams that have sought out supervision because it's separate to their line manager. You know, the issues that, like, if you've got a supervisor at work that is also overseeing your contract, that's very different to having an independent supervisor who you can talk through ethical issues or concerns that you have at your workplace.
No, but I think it's important for hospital dietitians, for hospital departments, for the managers, I guess, to be considering if they're not already providing supervision for their hospital dietitians also.
Oh, absolutely. If they're not already, yes. And if they aren't, dietitians can seek it externally. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about being in a team, is usually you're getting that oversight. And we know 50% of dietitians in Australia that are graduating are going into private practice. So that's a lot of clinicians that don't have this automatic team structure. And I really feel like supervision is something that can really provide and plug in that hole, that gap, and provide support for those clinicians.
So Tara, where to from here? What does the future hold for supervision in dietetics?
Oh, we're very excited about the future, Marie. There is such an energetic community at Dietitian Supervision Resources Australia for continuing to work to really progress engagement in supervision. This year, we're really hoping to launch webinars that are going to be really accessible for dietitians, both in Australia and internationally, but principally we're focusing on Australian dietitians to help get some really good quality information out there about what supervision is and how to benefit from it. We really feel this kind of growing swell of interest as dietitians are getting more equipped to look to a more developed scope of practice. You know, what dietitians are doing really speaks to our skill set being much, much more than just, you know, handing out dietary information. And I'm sure that you would agree with that too, Marie. And to do what we're capable of requires support to do it well and to do it confidently. So we're really, really excited. And we've got all of our radars up waiting for announcements from the Dietitians Australia executive about where things might be heading in terms of supporting and promoting the practice of supervision across the membership as well. So the future's bright, Marie.
And I think just to end with, I think the process would not be dissimilar to the way a dietitian might go about a counselling session with their own clients. Would I be correct on that?
Yes.
In terms of the questioning approach.
Yeah, absolutely. In the same way that more contemporary dietetics is practiced in a client-centred approach, where the strengths and resources in the client are really evoked by the dietitian to build on, you know, what that client already knows about change, what, you know, how they want to proceed to look after their health, and the dietitian is there to provide information when it's required. Absolutely, the dietetic supervisor is going to model that process in the supervision that they deliver as well. They're believing in the strengths and competence of the supervisee they're working with. And they're asking the kind of questions that are really going to highlight and elevate that and promote confidence in the supervisee through that kind of curiosity and unconditional positive regard. That's really the pearl of great supervision.
Alyssa, final.
Like, finally, we need dietitians in Australia to know that supervision that we practice is not scary. We're not here to trip you up. We're not here to find all your weaknesses. It's the opposite of that. You already know how to be a great dietitian, and we just help you believe it. And we help you remember it, and we help you find it. And if there are gaps, we help you plug it. But we're here for you.
Beautiful. Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, great way to end it. Thank you so much. Thanks so much, Alyssa and Tara, for joining us today. We're really looking forward to hopefully many dietitians who aren't currently seeking out supervision will take that step after listening to this podcast. And I think that can only strengthen the profession, as you've discussed. So thank you so much for all the work that you do in supporting our profession and this focus on supervision. I think it's really important. So thank you.
We'll provide a link to the website in the podcast notes too.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Marie.
Thank you, Marie.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to everyone joining us on a future Dietitian Connection podcast.
If you'd like to support the Dietitian Connection podcast, please leave a review and a rating on the Apple Podcasts app. Tell us what you thought of this episode, what you learnt, and share your guest requests for us to consider for future episodes. We value hearing from you, and we really appreciate your feedback. So please, please hit that review button.